Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Today, I've, of course, as always, have with me Pat Sherlock. Pat, how's it going?
Bobby, it's been great. And I love this topic because I think it's so appropriate as we are getting near the end of the year.
I love it, too. Actually, when you said it in my direction, I'm like, this one's a perfect topic. What do you call it again? Being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And or another way to say it is, why do some people have all the luck? Is another way that I think makes sense. And certainly, when you look at the present performance of our industry, where 40% of the originators do 80% of the volume, there are 40% that people might consider being very lucky, but there's 60% that certainly are unproductive and not performing well. So I think in the real world, the lucky people is what we're talking about. And the 40%, what are they doing to make their own luck? I think that really is the question. Any thoughts?
Yep. No, I mean, it's interesting because when you and I were first discussing the topic, I think to the untrained eye, it really does look like being at the right place at the right time. But there is no accidents there, right?
No question. In fact, actually, one of the things that I'd want to share with our audience today is that I think there's three parts to being in the right place at the right time. And I don't think any of them are a surprise. But the first one, I would call it the proximity. In other words, being near as many opportunities as possible. And that's an issue that your better performers do many different activities and not just the same thing. I think that's one translation that I would suggest is that proximity is all about creating and being part of many opportunities versus just focusing on one and hoping that that will work out.
Yep. So in your mind, for a loan officer to be near that many opportunities so that they increase their likelihood of having that lightning bolt, that strike of luck hit, how do you coach people to do that?
Well, you've hit on the $64 million issue, and that is where the originator needs to be reflecting, and I think this is probably a really great time of the year to do that, where you have to ask the hard questions. Do you have the skills and the knowledge to capitalize on these new opportunities? So proximity is about taking advantage and looking at your skill set and recognizing, do I have a skill set to operate what is currently needed by the marketplace? And for instance, as an example, for an originator, since so much of our relationship situation from a prospecting standpoint is really can be driven by online, not just offline. And online requires a skill set that is a different skill set. And for many originators, it's a skill set where they really don't have the present skills. So you have to look at the driver of proximity and taking advantage of opportunities is this evaluation of, are your current skill sets and knowledge enough for today for you to operate in a successful way?
Yep. So if I hear you correctly, when you talk about proximity, you're not saying that calling a ton of realtors is enough or showing up at enough networking events is enough. You've got to be calling with or showing up with the right things of value so that that turns into an opportunity.
Right. And so proximity is really about doing many things. It's, I think, probably a simpler way to look at it. Is, in other words, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm going to outreach in many different ways. And one of these ways will meet with the knowledge and skills required today, and that becomes what turns into a potential opportunity for you. But proximity only matters if, in fact, which is, I think, the second step, is the originator needs to practice. Because if you are going to take advantage of an opportunity, you have to look at that you have to prepare for that big moment, similar to a sports figure who has practiced receiving as a wide receiver on a football team, they practice hours and hours for that one moment that happens to them each Sunday or potentially could happen to them. So the second step after proximity, which is really about doing many things based upon what are the current skills and knowledge capabilities that you have to have, but you have to have that second part, which is the practice component of it. How do you move your skills to that next level? And I think you've already brought the issue up that that is all about you receiving coaching, you receiving training, you receiving where you are actively belonging to groups, lots of different ways to practice. But the point is that opportunities don't happen unless you have practice, so when you can take advantage of them, that you are able to capitalize on it.
Yep. Now, it's kind of interesting because, you know, as a coach, one of the things that I see is that people tend to separate business building activities from practice. But what I just heard you say, though, and by the way, I agree with you 100%, what I just heard you say as far as activities that would give people practice, they were the business activities themselves. In other words, you don't have to, and we don't recommend that you get something so perfect in your head or in a false environment like a classroom before you're willing to go out and practice it in the real world in front of live customers and real realtors and all of that. At least that's what I heard you say. Would you comment more on that?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head is I think, and that's what I think makes selling such a wonderful profession, is that the opportunities that get presented to you are opportunities that will require your skill set that you had 20 years ago is not the same skill set that you would need today. And this Yep. ability to make this skill set relevant to today's marketplace requires you to open up not just your mind, but the ability to become good at whatever you are selecting as your skill set that you think you need to be successful in today's marketplace. So opportunities will come to you, but you have to recognize that the opportunities are also a function of what are your current skill sets and your knowledge base. And I think that's the issue for many originators today, that they're still doing the same things that they did a long time ago and hoping that that's going to be successful. When you look at the average results, and certainly what Strathmore is saying is that 60% of the originators are unproductive, I would also paint those originators as being people that have not updated their skill sets.
Yep. Yeah, the entire practice thing, I love that that one's number two, because people are not willing to practice often enough. And, you know, in sales, I love sales because there's no such thing in sales, if you're doing the right activity, as a unproductive day. Again, as long as you're engaged in the right activity, because each activity, you're either making money, earning a commission, or you're paying tuition. In other words, right. when the activity didn't go as planned, you right. can step back. Treat it as a practice shot, evaluate, learn, and then improve for the next one. So I like the way you frame that. That's great.
Well, I think paying a tuition is another great thing, because that is a great way to look at it, which I think leads to the next part, that proximity is certainly being out there. Practice is getting good at what you are saying are the skill sets. And the third thing is, frankly, persistence. There's no way that you're going to be successful in such a challenging business as origination unless you are persistent. And you can have a definition of persistence in whichever way you want. I tend to think of it as someone that is a self-starter. A self-starter is someone not waiting for their manager to tell them to get out there and prospect. It's not waiting for their company to come up with the perfect brochure. Is not waiting for the lowest price in the marketplace. This is someone who I would frame as a person who is out there and is practicing a higher level skill set and is persistent about it. And that is what those three things that I would comment are what really drive what we perceive as luck, but it's not really luck at all.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's interesting because I kind of think persistence is such an obvious need, especially in sales. But it's also, out of the three you just mentioned, I would say that it's the one that a lot of salespeople have the hardest time with.
Yeah, I would agree. And I guess my argument would be that certainly persistence can be developed, but I think the individuals that are the 40% within mortgage banking, those individuals have had a long track record in other parts of their life of being persistent. And so I guess my argument would be is that persistence is something that you just can't develop that just for selling. It has to pertain with everything that you do. And I do think that when you look at the successful originators, they will all share with you it wasn't easy for them. They had to put a lot of hard work in. But I think at the end, you know, they kept at it when the others did not. And as a result, what is perceived as luck is really not luck. So that's where the function of, you know, be out there near opportunities. And then the practice component is, you know, are your skill sets matching up to what you need? And the persistence is, are you keeping at it? Certainly what I see with prospecting over and over again is that the originator does it once in a while.
What role do you think resilience plays in being able to be persistent?
Well, certainly by definition with selling, it's not everybody's going to buy your product or service. And so by definition, you're going to get rejected more than you're going to get accepted. And so resilience is being able to shake off that rejection and move on to the next effort, which is persistence. And so resilience, I think, and persistence really go hand in hand just by the definition that a consumer or a referral source is not waiting for you to appear one day. They're off doing their own activities. So the reality of it is that by not being focused on consistently being out there and making it a time block as part of your week, the chances of you being able to be at that right time and right place is going to be very, very small. And that's why when you really look in this big picture of being at the right place at the right time is this issue of certainly doing a lot of things, which is what proximity is about, certainly practicing so you are able to deliver when your moment comes. And the third part is doing it consistently. And so I think this raises a question, and I'm interested, Bobby, in your view, what percentage of the time should an originator be out prospecting?
Well, I think that varies some based off of where they're at in their career, because, you know, we know people that they've done this long enough that the phone rings more often. They can't rely on it alone, but it rings more often just because of their past stuff. But you've been speaking a lot based on the Stratmore things on the average originator. So if I were to speak to the average originator, I would say that probably about 70% of their time. And I break that down in very real terms. It, depending on the stats that you see, the average originator is closing between 2 to 3 loans per month. Right. And if you take a look, and we've tracked this, so if you take a look and you say, well, how long does that mean that that loan officer is engaged in loan activity? The best case scenario is usually around 7 hours per loan. And the worst case scenario on average is about 10 hours per loan, because it varies. You know, are you dealing with a 20% down 800 FICO borrower, or is it a FHA borrower using a gift? And, you know, there's complexities that can change that. But that 7 to 10 hours, that is everything. I mean, we tracked this last time we did it. We tracked it in 6-minute increments, like literally one hash mark, 1/10 of an hour. So every update call, every status check, every email, we tracked it all. So let's say you're a 3-a-month guy or gal, that's worst case scenario. If every deal is a tough deal, that's 30 hours out of what, 165 work hours for the month that you're engaged in actual loan activity. So yeah, I think the math bears it out. And certainly if you want results, if you're not investing 70% in business building activity, you're not going to reach the next level.
Well, I agree with you, but I must tell you, in the real world, when I look at originators, I would say very few of them, obviously it must be the 40% because they're obviously being successful, but the others are nowhere near that number. And when I say nowhere near that number, so you're saying 70%, I would say maybe 5 to 10% is what these other individuals are doing. And that translates into not being successful. And so I think you're right on. And when you put it that way, which I loved how you did that, it is really true. What are you doing with those other hours? And unfortunately, not much is would be the answer. So at the end, I think you really have hit on a really good point. And I would say on average, unfortunately, what I see is somewhere around 10% or lower. Yep.
Absolutely. There's not a single person I've coached or who has joined my team that if we focus on getting their time in the field in front of agents, specifically in a buyer's market, in front of borrowers, you know, especially past clients, if, as we increase that, I've never had somebody's volume do anything else other than go up. I mean, it really is. For the listeners, you know, we're not oversimplifying a tough work day. I get that there's things in the way. You know, sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes you're afraid to do it or you have hesitancy to do it. Sometimes it's just poor planning. And, you know, those 7 to 10 hours that you're spending on a loan, you haven't set up a process that supports you because you're getting interruptions every 10 minutes as you're putting in the 7 to 10 hours. And there's structural issues in your business. I think, you know, so we're not discounting your challenges. We're just underlining that you got to clean that stuff up if you're committed to making the big checks and performing at the level you could.
Well, I think you're right on. And I think as we're getting near the end of our session today, I think it's a good time for us to share some takeaways. And certainly my three takeaways are being at the right place in the right time is all about the proximity. So that's being exposed to many different opportunities, not just the same old one that you've always done. I think the second component is a practice component, which in another way is saying it's a learning and an updating of your skills component. And I think the third part is frankly persistence, which is just hard work. I mean, there's no other way that you can put it. It's hard work. And if you want to be above average, that hard work has to be put in to occur. And just as you've mentioned, there is a correlation between that effort and your results that you have. And I think every originator needs to really look at their work week and really identify why are they not able to commit to 70% of the work week to building of prospecting relationships.
Yep. Yeah. Well done. I think that's a great summary. This topic, it's really funny. A lot of times when I think past sales and what it takes to be successful, we're not mapping the human genome here. It's pretty straightforward stuff.
Yeah. Good point.
And yeah. Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, God, this is so straightforward. And it's really the mindset, right? There's a lot of head game that has to come to bear for this to work out. And what I would do, you know, my parting idea, I loved your three. My parting idea is I'd ask you all to spend maybe the next 3 to 5 minutes and just ask yourself the question, what is in the way from me exercising what I just heard? Like, you know, why am I not out there more? Why am I not practicing more? Why am I hot and cold with my prospecting efforts? And identify the roadblocks and just attack them one by one.
Well, I think that's a great topic for another session that we'll have to do with identifying roadblocks. And so I want to thank everybody for listening today and certainly join us on another podcast. Bobby, any comments?
Nope. It's been another great day.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your national MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.